Greetings! I am Publius, and you, I suppose you know who you are listening to a long-form spoken word presentation on AnonRadio.net.
And it is Friday, the 2nd of February, in the glorious future year of 2024. And in American mythology, the 2nd of February is Hedgehog Day, where if Sonic the Hedgehog sees Shadow the Hedgehog, there will be another 6 weeks of conflict over the Chaos Emeralds. Now, Tuesday of this week, of course, I didn't succeed in doing a show because I had succeeded in messing up my audio configuration something awful. But as you can tell, it's back to something approaching normal. Let's see. Yes, here we are. What else is there to say before I begin? Well, the book that I've been reading for the last little while here during these shows has been My Zeppelins by Hugo Eckner, which is Douglas Robinson's translation of Eckner's 1948 book Im Zeppelin über Länder und Meer. And I'd got to the end of the main text and begun reading the technical appendix by Hugo Eckner's son, Dr. Engineer Knut Eckner, who was, among other things, a very experienced Zeppelin crewman. And I expect to finish that in this sitting. And it sounds in calm, and it sounds as though after this we will have a brand new episode of DJ Koyu's show. So that'll be fun, I'm sure. Now, just a reminder, if you'd like to comment on this program, send your cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, 76101, United States of America. And I will probably read them out on the air. I will probably send you something in return. For those who are keeping track of Tobe's situation, I have not heard anything more from the Emeritus, so I do not know how Tobe's situation is progressing. But I suppose if there had been a major change, he would have said something that... To the best of my knowledge, Tobe is not out of the hospital, and I don't know when he will be. But if you want to send, again, something for me to pass along to him, so I've been soliciting sort of well-wisher messages by email on the Anon Radio list and in Bboard, rather. And so probably this afternoon, well, after I finish this show, really, I'm going to take all those down and print them out. Right, copy them over and print them out, and bundle them up in an envelope to mail to Tobe, because I have his mailing address. And if there is anything physical that you'd like to send him that's, you know, small enough to fit in a mailing envelope, and you want to send it to me, I will pass it along to him. I know DJ Marcus, who does the news show at 1900 on weekdays, was saying he was going to buy some washi tape and things and make up something. So there, I've dropped the mailing address to send mail to me. I've dropped that into the metadata. So, yes, getting back to my zeppelins. We've got, say, in the technical appendix, Dr. Engineer Eckner had discussed the shocking destruction of the LZ-4 and the sudden wave of financial support from people all over Germany. While the new airship factory was going up at the northwest edge of the city of Friedrichshafen, a few more ships were built in the old wooden hangar in Mansell Bay. These were generally improved but incorporated no important changes compared to their predecessors. The personnel of the building company added to their experience in numerous extended and successful flights, which were varied by a number of instructive interludes. At the same time, they won to an even greater degree the confidence and interest of the public. No longer could airship flight be dismissed as a mere experiment or a form of sport. A useful aircraft had been created and must now be put to practical employment. To be sure, the government had taken over a couple ships for the army, but this was not enough to keep the factory steadily busy. Furthermore, Count Zeppelin considered his airships to be the special means of realizing important peaceful and cultural goals. Therefore, it was proposed to build special passenger-carrying airships, which were to be owned and operated by the German Airship Transportation Company, known as the DELAG, for Deutsche Luftschifffahrtsaktiengesellschaft. During the years 1909-1914, the airships Deutschland, Schwaben, Victoria Luise, Hansa, and Sachsen were constructed at the new factory in Friedrichshafen. The new construction shed permitted building these ships larger and therefore capable of carrying greater loads. The Deutschland, the seventh Zeppelin airship built, was 485.5 feet long and 45.9 feet in diameter. I keep threatening to get hold of a copy of this in the original German and retranslate it, if only just to have the metric units. Her total gas capacity was nearly 670,900 cubic feet, which produced a total lift of 45,000 pounds. There was also a definite advance in engine power. In the forward gondola, which at the same time was the control car, one motor was installed as previously. In the after car, which was an engine gondola exclusively, two engines were now installed. Their total output was 375 horsepower and enabled the ship to attain a speed of 35.5 miles per hour. The quadruplane box kite elevators were retained on the sides of the ship. The rudders, divided into four surfaces, were attached to the upper portion of the tail cone. An important innovation characteristic of the ships of this period was a roomy and attractive passenger cabin in the keel amidships. This, with its ample proportions and arrangement of seats in front of large windows, resembled the dining car of a crack express train. A particularly lucky gamble was the LZ-10, the Schwaben, put in service by the DELAG in the summer of 1911. Her gas volume was only 628,518 cubic feet, somewhat less than that of the Deutschland, as she was shorter by the length of one gas cell. With a diameter of 45.9 feet, she was only 459.3 feet long. For the first time, the power plant consisted exclusively of Maybach engines, which had been built to meet the special requirements of the airship. Each produced 145 horsepower, with a weight ratio of only 6.6 pounds per horsepower, and consumed about 0.53 pound of fuel per horsepower hour. Equipped with three such engines, the Schwaben developed a speed of 44 miles per hour. The multiple surface elevators disappeared with this ship. For the first time, all control surfaces were combined at the stern, with two pairs of elevators and two pairs of rudders being symmetrically arranged behind the stabilizing surfaces. The control surfaces had to be built comparatively large in this ship, because the hull was still generally cylindrical and ended in a short, blunt point at the stern. This caused the airstream to break away from the hull at high speeds, creating a very turbulent boundary layer aft, in which the rudders were naturally rather ineffective. The close-coupled ship proved very handy with the controls designed for her, and with more powerful and reliable engines, had attained a noteworthy performance. Up till the summer of 1912, in only 1 year, she was in the air for 480 hours during 234 flights, flew more than 17,000 miles, and in the process transported nearly 4,400 passengers. Oak 3 and Com comments on the term gondola. That's always been the term that's been used, probably because the first, of course, the LZ-1, the two cars slung under the ship were in fact boats, which floated on the surface of Lake Constance. Yes, Schwaben, like Sachsen, refers to a geographical area. Schwaben or Swabia. Swabia is sort of divided between the Kingdom of Bavaria, or now Free State of Bavaria, and the state of Baden-Württemberg, which incorporates the old Kingdom of Württemberg, where Friedrichshafen am Bodensee was, and of which Count von Zeppelin was a member of the minor nobility. Schwaben region, Swabia, is known for the near impenetrability of the way the people there speak. The other Germans, you know, put Q-tips in their ears and, you know, try to figure out, what is this person saying? The next ships were again 485.5 feet long and had a gas capacity of 670,900 cubic feet. Early in 1912, the Zeppelin factory completed the LZ-11, which was taken over by the Delag under the name Victoria Louise, named after the princess, the daughter of the Kaiser, who was very popular. In the summer of the same year, the Hansa made her delivery flight from Friedrichshafen to Hamburg. In structural features, both generally resembled the Lucky Schwaben. With their greater lifting capacity and further increased speed, their performance, however, was considerably improved. These were the first ships to make extended cruises over the sea, and in the course of them, reached Copenhagen and Heligoland. During hundreds of flights, in which many more than 10,000 passengers were accommodated, they demonstrated that the Zeppelin airship had now developed into a commercial vehicle with a worthwhile cruising range. Also, they offered the necessary reliability and safety, even if they had to be flown prudently and handled carefully. And what craft can be neglected in this respect? 10 years later, the first of the oceans was conquered. In October 1924, the LZ-126 crossed the North Atlantic in a direct flight from Friedrichshafen to Lakehurst. During the first half of that decade, a war was raging, and under its merciless scourge, the progressive development of aircraft received such a mighty impetus that the goals which seemed far distant in the future in peacetime were reached much earlier than one could have hoped or expected with a normal rate of progress. Inasmuch as the airship, at that stage of military technology, could play a considerable role in reconnaissance and attacks on distant targets, the Zeppelin Company was helped and supported in every way. The chief customer was the Navy, which had placed in service only 3 ships before the war, but up to the end of the war had 66 Zeppelin airships built. The demands made on the ships were for maximum carrying capacity, greatest possible ceiling, and high speed. To satisfy these requirements, and to obtain the best possible overall performance, the ships had to be systematically improved and perfected in every detail. The fundamental soundness and usefulness in the basic principle had been demonstrated with the craft built up to that time. The original idea was attained through sound technical knowledge and great skill in execution, and the innumerable problems encountered in the process were overcome by ingenious inspirations and frequently by very fortunate, even fantastic, but perfectly practical improvisations. Now there occurred a period of development in which previous achievements, which in retrospect would appear to have been rather crude in form and execution, were refined and perfected by applying scientific methods. With accurate scale models in wind tunnels, studies were made of streamlined ships' hulls, gondolas, and control surfaces in order to develop shapes with the least air resistance and the greatest possible efficiency, and to measure the forces operating on them in flight. In closest cooperation with the manufacturers, the quality of construction materials was improved, and careful stress calculations finally created the foundation for building airship hull frames which provided the maximum strength for the minimum weight. The cylindrical hull form was retained by the Zeppelin Company for a considerable length of time, as construction was much simpler and more economical, with transverse rings of uniform diameter, and because with this shape, the greatest gas volume was attained in comparison with the weight of the ship. With increasing speeds, however, more and more attention had to be paid to improved streamlining, and the new ships presented a short, parallel midships section and a smoothly rounded bow, while the stern tapered gradually to a sharp point. The improved streamlining permitted the control surfaces to be made smaller, and then the rudders and elevators could be attached directly to the fins. The open gondolas were covered over to form enclosed, streamlined bodies, which not only decreased their air resistance, but gave the crew better protection against the slipstream. The resulting improved airflow meant that the propellers could be attached directly to the after ends of the gondolas, and the propeller brackets on the hull disappeared completely. The dimensions of the naval airships, their absolute and also their relative performance, increased from one type to the next. During the first 2 years of the war, the gas volume grew from 880,000 to 1,950,000 cubic feet. The speed rose from 43.5 to 62 miles per hour, and the useful load from 26,500 to 62,000 pounds. In the year 1917, a ship was built which, in a quite extraordinary journey, demonstrated the special suitability of the Zeppelin-type airship for transportation and commerce over long distances. General von Lettow-Vorbeck, completely isolated, was still fighting with a small force of colonial troops in German East Africa, and it was planned to supply him by air with rifle ammunition, medicines, bandaging material, and other articles. The LZ-104, which bore the Navy designation of L-59, was detailed to carry out this mission. For this purpose, she was rebuilt to a length of 743.1 feet,